don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. I want to go ahead and jump into a solid overview and breakdown of the Lightning Network. How it works, how it does its job, why it's secure, what fallbacks it has, all that great stuff. And this is actually an article series. It's a multi-part set of articles written by another one by Aaron Von Wertheim. He did great articles, and this, I know I've said this 1,000 times, but he is wonderful to read. He's been writing this stuff forever. This is probably early 2016 that I started recognizing his name popping up in every time I found a great article, I'd be like, that guy again? But this is a breakdown of the Lightning Network. It's called Understanding the Lightning Network. Like I said, it's a multi-part set of articles. We'll hit part one today. And this one's titled Building a Bidirectional Bitcoin Payment Channel. I think this will be a great lead in to the podcast just about the Lightning FUD and all the nonsense that's spouted about it, and detailing what actually is based in real engineering problems and what's based on just complete nonsense. Because I tell you, if you want to hold an opinion about anything, particularly in technology or the crypto economy space, you better know what you're talking about. You better be able to explain it better than the person you're talking to. So if you want to know, this is how you do it. Understanding the Lightning Network, Part 1, Building a Bidirectional Bitcoin Payment Channel by Aaron Von Wertheim. The Lightning Network is probably the most highly anticipated technological innovation to be deployed on top of Bitcoin. The payment layer, first proposed by Joseph Poon and Taj Draja about a year ago, promises to support a virtually unlimited number of off-chain transactions among users at nearly no cost, while leveraging the security offered by Bitcoin. At least three companies, Poon and Draja's Lightning, Blockstream, and Blockchain, are currently working on implementations of the technology, but few outside this small technological front line fully grasp how the future of micropayments is set to boost Bitcoin's capabilities. In this three-part series, Bitcoin Magazine lays out the basic building blocks of the Lightning Network and shows how they fit together to realize this upcoming protocol layer. This first part of the series establishes the necessary building blocks and shows how these can be combined to create smart contracts, which can be applied to realize the first requirement of the Lightning Network, a bidirectional payment channel. Building block number one, unconfirmed transactions. At its heart, the Bitcoin protocol consists of transactions that are typically linked to previous transactions and potentially to future transactions. Each transaction contains inputs, which refer to addresses Bitcoins are sent from, and outputs, which refer to addresses Bitcoin are sent to. Additionally, inputs must include the requirements to send the Bitcoins, like signatures that prove ownership of the input addresses. Outputs, meanwhile, establish the new requirements that must be included in the input of a subsequent transaction. As one of its key features, the Lightning Network is built up from more or less regular Bitcoin transactions. It's just that these transactions are typically not actually broadcast over the Bitcoin network. Instead, they are stored locally on the nodes of users, but they can be broadcast over the network at any time. Building block number two, double spend protection. The second building block for the Lightning Network probably doesn't require much explaining, as it's arguably the raison d'etre for Bitcoin itself, double spend protection. If two transactions, or inputs, rely on the same output, only one can confirm. The important thing to keep in mind here is that even unconfirmed transactions can be conflicting, meaning only one can ever confirm. Building block number three, multisig. The third building block of the Lightning Network is also a straightforward one, multi-signature or multi-sig addresses, or more generally, P2SH addresses, that's pay to script hash. Multi-sig addresses are Bitcoin addresses that, as the name suggests, require multiple private keys to unlock and spend Bitcoins from. Multi-sig addresses can be set up under all sorts of conditions, for instance, to require two of three possible keys, or 15 out of 15, or just about any other combination. The Lightning Network often uses two of two multi-sig setups. Unlocking Bitcoins from two of two multi-sig addresses requires two signatures from two dedicated keys. Building block number four, time locks. The fourth building block is the time lock. Time locks can lock Bitcoins up in an output to make them spendable to be included in a subsequent input only at some point in the future. There are two different types of time locks. The absolute type, called check lock time verify, or CLTV, and the relative type, check sequence verify, or CSV. CLTV locks Bitcoins up until a more or less concrete time in the future, an actual time and date, or a specific block height. Check sequence verify instead uses relative time. Once a CSV output is recorded on the blockchain, it takes a specific amount of blocks from that point on before the Bitcoins can be spent again. Building block number five, hash values and secrets. The fifth and final building block, cryptography, is the most fundamental building block of Bitcoin itself. But in the Lightning Network, it's applied in a new way. In short, a value or a secret is a long and unique string of numbers that is practically impossible to guess, even for a computer with infinite tries. With a special calculation, this value or secret can be hashed into a different string of numbers, a hash. And here's the trick. Anyone who knows the value can easily reproduce the hash, but this doesn't work the other way around. It's a one-way street. This trick can be utilized in Bitcoin itself, again, to lock Bitcoins up. In fact, it's really how Bitcoin works. For example, a hash can be included in an output and require the subsequent input to include the corresponding value in order to be spendable. Okay, so quick aside here. This is kind of a key part to how commitment transactions are updated, so I think it's really important to understand. And that paragraph, when I first read it, was really confusing to me. So essentially what's going on here is, in a normal transaction, I'm sending from my address, which requires my signature to spend, to your address, which requires your signature to spend. In this case, I'm sending it to your address and including a hash of a secret value, that's a secret number, that I have. So what this means is that with this special transaction, because I've included that hash, I sent the money to your address, so I can't spend it because it requires your signature to unlock the address, but I've also included that hash, which means you can't spend it either until I give you the secret value. So that's what's going on. I hope that's a little bit clearer. The first challenge, bidirectional payment channels. Even before the Lightning Network was presented, the concept of payment channels had been around for some time. Typical payment channels are useful for certain purposes, but also limited. They are one-directional. Alice can pay Bob several off-chain transactions, but Bob cannot pay Alice through the same channel at all. As a key feature of the Lightning Network, Poon and Dryja proposed trustless bidirectional payment channels. Opening the channel. To set up a bidirectional payment channel, both parties involved must first agree on an opening transaction. This opening transaction determines how many Bitcoins each deposits into the channel. Let's say Alice wants to send one Bitcoin to Bob. Since Alice and Bob expect to transact more frequently, they decide to open up a bidirectional payment channel and use this to send the Bitcoin. Sending a whole Bitcoin is probably a lot for a payment channel, as these might be more useful for micropayments, but it's perfectly possible. To open the channel, Alice and Bob each send 5 Bitcoins to a 2-of-2 multisig address. This is the opening transaction. Bitcoins can only be spent from this address if both Alice and Bob sign a subsequent transaction. Additionally, Alice and Bob both create a secret unstring of numbers and exchange the hash. All right, this next paragraph is pretty dense with information, so I'm going to read it slowly, and I'm going to try to emphasize so that you can understand it, but pay close attention because this is important. Alice now immediately creates a subsequent transaction from the opening transaction. This is a commitment transaction. With the commitment transaction, Alice sends 4 Bitcoins back to herself and 6 Bitcoins to a second multisig address. This second multisig address is a bit funky. It can be unlocked by Bob on his own, but only after 1,000 extra blocks have been mined once it's included on the blockchain. It includes a check sequence verify lock. Or it can be opened by Alice on her own, but only if she also includes the secret value for which Bob has just now given her the hash. Of course, Alice has no idea what this secret value is. She only knows the hash. So there's no way she can make use of this option right now. Alice signs her end of this commitment transaction, but she doesn't broadcast it. Instead, she gives it to Bob. Meanwhile, Bob does the same, but mirrored. He creates a commitment transaction as well, from which he sends 6 Bitcoins back to himself and 4 to a funky new multisig address. Now Alice can unlock this address if she waits an additional 1,000 blocks, or Bob can unlock it with Alice using her secret value. Bob signs this half and gives it to Alice. After all this exchanging of half-valid commitment transactions and hashes of secrets, they both sign and broadcast the opening transaction to make sure that it's recorded on the blockchain. The channel is now officially open. At this point, both Alice and Bob could sign and broadcast the half-valid commitment transaction that they received from each other. If Alice does, Bob gets 6 Bitcoins immediately. If Bob does, Alice gets 4 Bitcoins immediately. But whomever signs and broadcasts the transaction will have to wait 1,000 blocks to unlock the subsequent multisig address and claim the remaining Bitcoins. However, and this is the key trick of a payment channel, neither sign and broadcast their half of the transaction at all. Updating the channel. A little later, Bob wants to send Alice 1 Bitcoin back. They want to update the channel's state to make the balance 5-5 again. To accomplish this, Alice and Bob do 2 things. First, both repeat the process as described above, except that the opening transaction is already recorded on the blockchain, so that part is skipped. This time, both Alice and Bob attribute themselves 5 Bitcoins, and both attribute 5 Bitcoins to the funky multisig addresses. The conditions for these multisig addresses are similar, except that they require new secrets. Both Alice and Bob provide each other with new hashes. They both sign their new half-valid commitment transaction and give it to each other. Second, Bob and Alice hand each other their first secrets, as used in the first setup. At this point again, both Alice and Bob could sign and broadcast the new half-valid commitment transaction that they just got. Their counterparty would get 5 Bitcoins immediately, while the broadcaster would have to wait 1,000 blocks. As such, the channel is updated. But what's stopping Bob from broadcasting the older commitment transaction instead? That commitment transaction led to a path that paid him 6 bitcoins instead of 5. What's stopping Bob, of course, is his first secret, which he has now given to Alice. Bob cannot safely sign and broadcast the older commitment transaction anymore because Alice now knows Bob's first secret. If Bob were to sign and broadcast that commitment transaction, he would immediately send 4 bitcoins to Alice, and he would have to wait 1,000 blocks to claim his own 6 bitcoins. That's a problem, because now that Alice knows his secret, she could use this time to beat Bob to the punch and claim the other 6 bitcoins as well. And since Bob has Alice's secret too, this is just as true for the other way around. If Alice tries to sign and broadcast an old commitment transaction, Bob can steal all the bitcoins in the channel. This, of course, means that both Alice and Bob are strongly incentivized to play fair and only ever sign and broadcast the most recent state of the channel. Next, this bidirectional payment channel setup needs to expand to allow payments over a network. This is covered in the second article of this series. Thanks to Rusty Russell and Joseph Poon for added feedback. All right, and that is part one of understanding the Lightning Network, building a bidirectional Bitcoin payment channel. Now, I know that this is really dense. I probably read this whole series at least 2 or 3 times when I was first, because this is one of the first things that I, every time one of these explanatory things regarding the Lightning Network came up, I read it. I've read a bunch of them, and you only get a little bit every time, or at least that was my experience, is I would pick up on this one little piece, and I'd be like, all right, there's an opening channel, there's a commitment transaction, or opening and commitment transactions, and then I would try to explain what a commitment transaction was, and I'd be like, okay, I don't get it. It's always when I tried to explain it to somebody else that I realized that there was still a piece missing, and I'd have to read it again. And usually, you know, in all this stuff, particularly if you're hearing it for the first time, you're probably being introduced to 4 or 5 new things, which is hard enough to hold in your mind for any length of time. But then you're asked to see how all these 5 brand new things that you've not heard of before interact. And there's a lot of little relationships. So if you're not getting all the pieces right away, don't worry. Not that big a deal. That's inevitable. It's a very, very subtle system with a lot of working pieces. Honestly, I've said this a number of times before, but I think the Lightning Network is as difficult to understand as a technology as Bitcoin was when I was first introduced to it. So however long it took you to wrap your head around all the different pieces of the Bitcoin network, I would argue that it's probably going to take just as much time to really grasp how the Lightning Network works. Don't feel overwhelmed. We're going to hit part 2 tomorrow, and this is a 3-part series, so this should finish out the rest of the week. Then I want to address a lot of the FUD about the Lightning Network, all the claims of fractional reserve banking and censorship and, you know, all this stuff. And I want to compare each of those claims against how the Lightning Network actually works. So we'll go through all the 3-part series, detailing all the pieces of this machine and then comparing what they claim this machine can or can't do against how it works. And I think that should clear up a lot of the air around Lightning Network to at least have a base to start from so you can understand which ones you really have to worry about, which ones are just engineering problems that need to be solved, and which ones are actual real issues regarding the possible usability of the Lightning Network in a large-scale system. I want to be as thorough as possible with this so that we can cover all our bases. But with that being said, I want to try to help make some of the confusing parts more digestible. If you were listening to this and there were any particular parts that you were like, what the hell does that mean? or anything that you want re-explained or you think could benefit from an analogy, feel free to respond to the Twitter post or DM me on Twitter. Again, I'm at The Crypto Economy, because I would love to answer questions. It'd be a good base to start with, and I could do quite a bit of digging if I needed to make sure I've got a specific detailed answer to give you. So yeah, throw them at me. But with that, don't forget to check out Aaron Von Wertheim and BitcoinMagazine.com. Those guys are awesome. Thank you for this series. It helped explain a lot to me and gave me a base to start with as I continued my extensive reading on the Lightning Network in the years or so since this. Even now, almost 2 years later, this is still a wonderful introduction to the Lightning Network and how it works. And I hope you guys enjoyed it and will join us for the next part in the series of Understanding the Lightning Network. But this will close our Crypto Economy Quick Read for today. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Take it easy. We'll be right back.